Go ahead, Lou.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus aureus by warming your synapses with...
You there?
...crunchy, a smelling jelly, 365 degrees to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Michael? Can you feel it?
It sounded like you were going to start that out by saying, good morning, Schweinfurt, or something. Something military. I don't know. Yeah. Thank you.
Do we still have listeners in Schweinfurt?
Thank you for your pig service. Well, you know, Schweinfurt does mean pig fort. I'm not saying anything about pigs.
Yes.
Pigs are okay. They're tasty. Bacon's good. Yeah, I'm good.
Pigs are some of the nicest people on earth.
Pigs are some of the nicest.
Not those pigs.
Nicest people you eat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool if pigs could lay bacon like chickens lay eggs?
Yeah, and then you wouldn't have to eat them. I mean, cut them up. Yeah. Because pigs are really smart, man. Pigs are smarter than, they're like smarter than dogs, aren't they?
Dogs, cats.
Yeah. So you're basically eating dogs. Dogs on brain steroids.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not cool. I know, I'm not going to stop eating them, though, but I'm going to feel a little bit bad about it, like, once every 10 years or so.
You know, we have a co-host who's a vegetarian now. I haven't really told anyone that because I don't want to get in trouble over it. Yeah. Yeah, Phil, the guy that does Biptunia with me, the poet that I went to college with, is a vegetarian. But I think it's for health reasons, you know. I think he... I don't think he minds killing things. No, I don't know. I haven't asked him. But he's not pushy about it. Like, I asked him one time, like, what do you like to eat? You know, he's a veggie now. He was not when I knew him. He was eating big old fat steaks in college. Well, we couldn't afford big old fat steaks. So, you know, really cheap hamburger that we'd roast in the backyard. Yep. So, guess what I've been doing, Lou?
What have you been doing, Lou?
I've been trying to turn off the social contract, man. So you know what the Prairie Pravda is, right?
Yes.
Let's tell the what the Prairie Pravda is.
That's one of your local newspapers, also known as the Commie Star Tribune.
Oh, I wasn't going to say a name of them, but you know we're live, so I cannot ring that bell that it's the Casper Tribune, but it's also the Casper Journal.
I didn't say Casper. I said Commie Star.
Oh, well, we're in Casper, so
you just rang the bell.
They bought the other paper in town, so they now have a monopoly on news, except for us. Like, we're the other news in Casper, I guess. There's that TV station that Nima used to be on, but no one watches it now that Nima left. Seriously, I don't think they do. But so. They throw the paper on my porch, or more often in the mud in my yard or in the snow. So basically they litter, and I've asked them not to litter. I never signed up for this newspaper. I think that's a horrible business plan of giving, like, cutting down trees, chopping them up, and, you know, making them into a newspaper people don't read and throwing it in the mud in their yard. And then they tell, and then they say, well, you know, we deliver to 30,000 households. They tell advertisers probably, you know, we have a circulation of 30,000 and, you know, 150 of them probably read it. I don't know what the numbers are, but I've seen a lot of copies of this paper blowing down the street with the tumbleweeds and in mud.
When they need to bump numbers, do they throw them at the doghouses too?
They probably should, man. Yeah, and they actually have a paywall on their. I would actually look at this paper once in a while to see what's, you know, to see what the tyrants have done, the state tyrants have done, but. Their website has a paywall, so I end up going to K2 Radio, which is the big station in town. Their website is basically more informative than the Prairie Pravda. You know, like the news, the site that plays a lot of syndicated radio shows actually has more real news on it and easier to get to and easier to read and doesn't cost money than the newspaper with the paywall that throws garbage in your yard. So I called them, like, when we first moved here, I wrote to them and said, really polite letter, like, hey, can you please not throw this trash in my yard? I didn't say trash. I said, you know, I don't read your paper. Actually, back then there was no paywall. And I said, you know, I don't read I'm not a grandpa. I don't read the mashed up tree version. On the occasion I do read your paper, I read it on the internet. And they stopped throwing it at the house. And for like 10 years, they stopped throwing it. And then, you know, there was the other paper. And I asked them to stop throwing the trash in my yard, and they stopped. And I guess maybe they have a thing of, like, that only lasts for 10 years. Because almost 10 years to the day of when we moved here, they started throwing the trash in my yard again. And it was both papers, which are now owned by the same company. And I wrote to them and asked them nicely to please stop throwing, and said the same stuff again. Like, hey, you know, I go on your website. I mean, they'll let you look at 6 articles a month. So, you know, if I want to look at the paper, I'll look at the – I don't want to even look at 6 articles a month, but I'll look at the website. And, you know, I don't want to have to go out and pick it up. And I'm not in great health anymore. You know, I have the little disabled placard card, and I don't need to be out there rutting around with my emphysema in the snow, digging out the trash out of, that they're throwing in my yard. They're literally littering. And the lady was really polite. I'm not going to say her name because she was really helpful. I'm not going to say her name. She was really helpful. She was, you know, she's one of the good guys there. But they keep throwing it. So, like, you know, in 3 weeks now, it's come 3 times. And I wrote her again. And in this one, I told her that it was a really – and she usually replies right away and says, I'm sorry, I'll take care of this. And then I did that today. And then she wrote back, and then I said, wrote back again and said, by the way, it's a really, I think it's a really horrible business plan throwing papers in people's yards that they don't read. And it's also a terrible waste. And she did not reply. You know, it's the dinosaur thrashing in the tar pit and, you know, pooping mashed up trees in your yard, I guess. It's the business model that's papers. Who reads papers? Old people?
I'm a little disappointed in you, Michael.
Why?
I expected you to know that you have to renew your cancellation every 10 years. It used to be where you renewed the subscription. Now you have to renew your cancellation.
That's kind of how it is with, like, it seems like that's the advertising economy these days, is really annoying things that spam you and poke you and mine your data and sell it to Steve Bannon. You know, I have a we're gonna get into that in a bit. That's the overarching topic of the show today, is going to be not just Facebook, but the whole internet and how they peer into your children's bedrooms, basically. I mean, that's how creepy it is. Like, they know more about your kids than you do. Do you remember that thing a few years ago? Like, some woman sued, I think it was some drugstore. I don't remember who it was, but it was like some teenage girl at the time who lived with her parents was pregnant. Her parents didn't know, and Walgreens or Walmart or Walsworth or somebody sent to her house like a, hey, we know you're expecting, here's our baby catalog, based on like mining her data. You know, like her friends didn't even know.
Ooh,
but like some,
that's dry snitching.
Some big box store do. And then her parents found out and threw her out of the house, and she ended up suing. And yeah, man, it's getting creepier and creepier.
That is some hardcore dry snitching.
Dry snitching? What's that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Explain
dry
that.
Dry snitching is when you snitch on somebody, but it's not really intentional. You kind of let the cat out of the bag. When you're supposed to be on the down low or the QTs or the DL and the QT, and you let it slip and say something like, you know,
yeah,
hey,
yeah,
we think you're expecting, or we know you're expecting, so here, check this out.
Yeah, it's sort of, well, would the opposite be wet snitching when you're doing it openly?
Not sure. Let me consult Urban Dictionary.
Okay, yeah, you take care of that while I ramble a little more. So I got a few announcements before we get into how Zuckerberg is spying on your children and knows more about them. There's 2 different memes I might use for the show today. One I made and one I didn't. I'll probably use them both. The other one's funnier. Mine is a theory, though, that I think is true that I've heard no one say. So I'm going to break this theory here. This is breaking news, or breaking conspiracy theory news. So Steve Bannon, the former henchman of Trump who got fired by Trump, you know, this presidency has been like, it's the you're fired presidency, which makes sense because that's what Trump's known for, you know, for firing people on TV.
Is anybody coming back for season 2?
I don't know, man. But
or year 2, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think anyone is. I think they're all gone. I mean, this guy fires more people than dollar bills the government prints every day, I think.
The keyboard elf is still there, though.
Who's that? Oh,
Jeff Sessions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those guys, him and your fired guy, Trump, wanted to have death penalties for drug dealers, which for anyone out there who thinks that's a good idea, let me say this. First of all, drugs are not a sin. They're not a real crime. You know, They kill people, but so do McDonald's cheeseburgers, and so does a sedentary lifestyle, and so does camping in bear country, and so does mudding out in the Ohio outback. I mean, the Wyoming outback and the Ohio outback with, you know, and motocross. I mean, everything people do that's fun, and sex, and, you know, marriage. I mean, married people kill each other all the time. And unmarried people. I mean, everything can be lethal. And there are things, there are a lot of things that are a lot more lethal than drugs. I mean, driving is a lot more lethal than drugs. More people die every day of driving than do of drugs. So, but if let's say you want to stop drug abuse, which is, you know, probably a noble crime because drug heavy drug use and addiction harms people. So if you want to stop that, I mean, I hate to say it, you got to decriminalize or legalize it. And I'm putting on my min hat here, minarchist hat here, to say decriminalize it, because really, there should just be no laws on it. And I mean, when people say drugs should be as regulated as tomatoes, no, tomatoes are too regulated. Drugs should be less regulated. I don't do drugs, but I think that drugs should be legal. And anybody who's saying, but my cousin died, and therefore, I know about 75 people really well who are dead from drugs. I used to be a drug addict. I used to play in a rock band. I used to live in big cities. I saw what that did. I know a lot of people who did that. I've been sober for many, many years. I've seen how it destroys lives. Generally, part of why it destroys lives is because it's illegal, because people can't get healthy usage of it. They have to, you know, reuse needles. They have to buy stuff that's cut with whatever. They have to buy stuff that's smuggled in the bottom of some dude swimming across some river or something.
It's made in the bathtub.
Yeah, it's made in the bathtub if you're lucky. You know, it's made in a
cart.
Could
you imagine if porn gets outlawed and that's made in the bathtub?
Yeah, well, they tried to do that in my state too. But here's the thing. Here's the unintended consequences of making it more illegal. So if they make it so drug dealers, if it's death penalty for drug dealers, here's what's going to happen. Drug addicts are not going to stop taking drugs. A lot of people are going to want to do drugs that never did because it's so forbidden. Like, oh man, they can kill you for this. I want to try it. But the real thing that's going to happen, the main thing that's going to happen is the people that are just doing it, like the people that deal because they have a habit and they have to support their habit, are going to get out of it. Those people are just going to burglarize more homes. And the only people dealing drugs are going to be mafia types, people who are willing to kill. What's going to become really common, way more common, is cop shootings. Because when people get pulled over with drugs and it looks like
they're going to get the death penalty,
they have an incentive to kill the cop. Definitely, definitely. They're going to have an incentive to kill anyone that gets in their way, whether it's a cop, another dealer, a snitch. And all this stuff happens now, but it's going to happen a lot more. And the more illegal drugs become, the more drugs there are. I mean, they kill drug dealers in the Philippines, and the Philippines already has still has a really bad, maybe worse than America, hard drug problem. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime? Or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agoristhosting.com. So, prohibition doesn't do anything good.
From the Urban Dictionary, wet snitch, a person who has no shame in directly telling on someone else for the other person's wrongdoing. The person will outright snitch on someone in front of a large group instead of behind the offender's back. So it's not just intentional snitching, it is shameless. So here's the example. Bob threw a pencil at the teacher when the teacher wasn't looking. The teacher asks, "Who threw the pencil?" Mark replies with, "Bob did it."
Pointing. Bob.
Mark is a wet snitch.
He is a wet snitch, man. It's such a wet snitch. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what's going to be interesting is the argument that will be made for escalating the drug war and keeping it going. Because, well, the drug war itself, the war on drugs, a.k.a. No Cartel or Police Agency Left Behind, started in what, 73?
Yeah, 1873. It started in 1925 or something, man, 1930.
No. Nixon launched the war on drugs. Now, you had different
prohibitions. The phrase war on drugs. Okay. Yeah.
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 Now, you had prohibition of cannabis and hemp starting in, I believe it was 1930-something, mid-30s.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years after the repeal of prohibition.
Yeah, because those FBI agents or whoever they were needed, those revenuers needed
The people in the Office of Prohibition.
Yeah.
They were going to get fired, so they said, hey, let's make something else illegal. But didn't that fail last time? Shut up. We got pensions to protect. So the war on drugs started in 73, I think it was, under Nixon, and then it was escalated under ultra-conservative small government guy Ronnie Reagan, LOL. So here you have a couple of
and you're laughing because let me interject here. You're laughing because Reagan was not small government. He raised taxes, he added gun laws, and he grew the size of the federal government.
Yeah, he was basically Hillary Clinton from California. But anyway, so what's gonna happen is they're gonna say, look, we've only been at it for 40 years. Yeah, sure, the number of people that are using drugs recreationally and habitually is pretty much the same as it was back then. Maybe
more people using hard drugs than back then.
Yeah. Sure, maybe there's more variety of drugs available since we began the war on drugs, and sure the quantities are more vast than ever before. And sure, everything's been such a failure, but we can't give up right now. We can't stop. We can't quit. Because if we do, that would mean that the past 40-some years have been for nothing. And that is called the sunken cost fallacy.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. It's related to the gambler's fallacy, too. The idea of, I've lost 500 times in a row, so I have to keep going. Because the next one I'll win, which is not how odds work. You're as likely to win a random game of chance twice in a row as you are to win it, you know, one the first time and the 500th time.
Yeah. So from Wikipedia, in economics and business decision making, a sunk cost is a cost that has already been incurred and cannot be recovered. Sunk costs, also known as retrospective costs, are sometimes contrasted with prospective costs, which are future costs that may be incurred or changed if an action is taken. In that regard, both retrospective and prospective costs could be either fixed costs, continuous for as long as a business is in operation and unaffected by output volume, or variable costs dependent on volume. However, many economists consider it a mistake to classify sunk costs as fixed or variable. But anyway, enough of that intellectual nonsense. What they're basically saying is, look, if we don't spend another $2 trillion and keep failing, then that means that the previous $2 trillion that's been spent on the war on drugs in its entirety has been thrown away. It's lost.
They should, though.
But they're going to use that to justify it. They're going to say, "Do you want to spend $2 trillion and not win?"
Yep.
When you can, and they won't say it, but what they really mean is when you can spend $4 or $5 or $6 trillion and not win.
Yeah. Well, their idea of winning is continuing the drug war because it does things they like, which is enables vast amounts of control on the populace, giving a reason to search anyone's car, and just basically a jobs program, you know, $100,000 a year salaries for people who basically just steal and spy, you know.
Well, don't forget all the social problems that it fixes, because you know how many people have been complaining about having intact families. And what the war on drugs does, it takes the fathers out of the household like they want it to be.
Yeah. It also leads if you're a conservative, you should be against the war on drugs for the following reason. One, the war on drugs gives police a lot more reason to search a car, and they will find your gun that's going to be illegal when they change the gun laws sooner or later, and guns are illegal.
Don't talk about our police, because when Nancy Pelosi comes to your house, our police are going to arrest her.
Yeah, no, they're not. That's what they think, though. It's going to put more people on welfare, because you break up families, father's in jail, the mother has to go on welfare. When the kid when the father gets out of jail, he can't get a job because he's a felon. He ends up on welfare. And, you know, you end up with fatherless kids who are out in the street. The cycle continues. And, you know, they're the people that are going to shoot you in the back of the head and take your purse and your gun and your money. So should be against it. You know what the first activism I ever did was? This is going to really turn some people off. But the first activism I ever did was in 1976 when I was 12. I wrote a letter to President Gerald Ford and told him he should legalize marijuana. I think I probably got on, I got on a list pretty early, man, probably. And I got in return, other than being on a list pretty early in life, he sent me, they sent me a 8.5 by 10 colored glossy photo of him and a form letter that had been like robo signed by a machine with his signature that said, you know, something about like, I really enjoy when citizens write me with their ideas about, and then there was literally a space that was really long that was filled in, like not all the way, that just said marijuana legalization. You know, like they'd left more room for, because back then they didn't have computers to print the form letters in the way they do now, where it, you know, justifies the text and wraps it around and things. So yeah, there you go. Got on a list young. Humans.
Did you write the letter in crayon?
No, man. Typed it on a typewriter. My dad had one of those IBM Selectrics that had the, you had to put on a separate ball to erase a mistake, you know? And I just kind of sat there and tapped it out. I learned to type early, man. I could type by 76. I actually took a class that year or the year before on typing and learned how to touch type way before, you know, I didn't learn on computers. So I got a couple announcements, and then we're going to pivot to the stuff. So here's the announcements.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
There's a Biptunia app. Biptunia is my group with Phil, the other fiend, and it's pretty groovy. And then there's now an app where we can play all of our songs for free in high quality. And it's Biptunia. That's Bravo India Papa Tango Uniform November India Alpha. Biptunia.com. And there's a little link on the first page there. There's players on the first page, and there you can also buy the stuff, but you can also get it free if you get the Android app. If you have an iPhone, we don't have an app for that, but you know what? If you have an iPhone, you can afford to buy my music. That's what I think. Because you're one of the beautiful people who pays 3 times as much for a phone as you should. Yeah. So let's see, what else? So I'm phasing out Freedom Fiends buttons and most of the stickers, because I don't like standing in line at the post office getting stamps all the time, and it's kind of expensive. I've sold a bunch of them, but I also just end up giving a lot of them away. So I have 6 packs of Freedom Fiends buttons left, and I'll also include some stickers, state speeches, hate speech, maybe some Bipcot, maybe some, I don't know, some other stuff, some Biptunia stickers. So go out on the Freedom Fiend site and order those if you want them, because they're going to be gone and they're going to be collector's items, probably. The only thing I'm going to have now is there's 2 things I have, and I'll send this out to anybody who emails me at bipcoin@gmail.com. That's Bravo India Papa Coin at gmail.com. I will send out Biptunia stickers and also Biptunia download cards that has a special QR code that goes to a secret page to download everything, including in ultra high quality 24-bit FLAC files, if you're that kind of audiophile. One of the reasons I'm also phasing out stickers and buttons is the price of postage is going up so much, because the United States Post Office has a monotony a monopoly on first-class mail. Google Lysander Spooner if you want to know more about that. But
it's the American Letter Mail Company.
Yeah, it's just going up like all the time, like the price. And it's gotten to the point where like to send out a $10 button order is almost $5 worth of postage. So I'm not really making money on it, and I don't want to raise the price on it. I just don't want to deal with it. I've gotten like 20,000 of these buttons out into the world, so there's 6 packs of 10 left. Order them. If it's still up on the site, there's still some left. If when the last one sold, I'll take that page down off the Freedom Fiend site. So you can get those. So what I'm trying to do is get it down to the point where I'm only sending out stickers and cards so I can send them in an envelope with one stamp, which is 50 cents instead of nearly $5. So yeah, there's a buttons link on the Freedom Fiend site. It's all good. Oh, you know what I got? You know what I got, Lou? I got Bluetooth headphones. Do you have any Bluetooth stuff? It's kind of cool.
I have a Bluetooth speaker. I've kind of contemplated the Bluetooth headphones, but you know me. I'm kind of slow to adapt technology.
Yeah. Well, me too. I mean, Bluetooth's been around for like 20 years or something, hasn't it? Or 15?
It's been around for a little while.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I got these headphones called Skull Candy. And the reason I got them was because I listen to a lot of music, usually my music, but other people's music too, and podcasts. And when I listen to music, so when you're listening to music, you know, you want it to have a little bit of bass thump so you kind of feel it. But the headphones that I have normally are really nice headphones. They're these Sony, like, studio monitor ones, but they have a totally flat response, so they don't boost bass at all. And they, so to get them to have any kind of thump, I have to turn them up a lot, which harms my ears because I have tinnitus from playing in rock bands and shooting guns back when, you know, before I lost all my guns and guitars in a voting accident. And so I got these ones that are like bass heavy, you know, like the kids use. And it's cool because then I can play music at like a pretty quiet volume and still feel it. So you'd think that like the bass heavy speakers would hurt your ears, but in my case, they're actually helping my ears. But it's really weird because I'm not used to headphones with bass, and like they actually made me nauseous for the first like hour or two. And then I got used to them. It's really weird. Like it's weird just walking around the house listening to music. They have a pretty far range, like 35 feet, 40 feet, something, through walls too. So, yeah, I'm using them on a phone that's not my main phone. So it's not my, because I don't know if I trust the security of these. I mean, it's opening up another, you know, two-way wireless on your phone. So I'm using one that has like a Gmail account that's not my normal one. That's a tip right there. So, yeah, I think we could probably segue into the internet and how to stay out of it. Did we talk about the bucket of rocks, though? And we'll talk about MeWe. Do we talk about the bucket of rocks? Do you know about this, Lou?
No. Rocks.
So there's a school. Where's the school? It's in Pennsylvania. It's in, I thought this was The Onion. I thought this was satire when I heard it. Orrisburg, O-R-W-I, Orrigsburg, O-R-W-I-G-S-B-U-R-G. Pennsylvania, in Schuylkill County, which is kind of funny because this is about school shootings, and it's in Schuylkill County, which is spelled S-C-H-U-Y-L, Kill County. It means river, Schuylkill, school river. So this school, the school board, you know, it's in a rural part. It's actually in the county where Punxsutawney Phil lives. You know who that is, right?
Yes.
You want to tell people who that is? The weather gopher. Yeah, the weather weasel.
Yeah, that is a rodent that comes out, and if he sees a shadow, the incumbents get another term
in office. Right. So this school board, their response to this this latest school shooting wasn't, oh, let's give our kids credit to go protest the Second Amendment and say, please take my rights. Their result was they wanted to arm the teachers because it's in a smart county where they tell the weather with a weasel and they like guns like they should. And they realize that, you know, you're not going to stop people just by even outlawing guns isn't going to stop shootings. Actually, outlawing guns will make more shootings, too. It'll cause more shootings. That's the unintended consequence because they'll be taking away guns and there are millions of people who will shoot rather than give out their guns, or they're in a situation where they're going to go to prison for life, so they'll shoot. You think no?
I personally think that yeah. They also say they're going to vote really hard next election. What I think is going to happen is the vast majority of them, when push comes to shove, they're going to fold like a card table. And you know why they're going to fold like a card table? Because that's what they've done on the previous death by a thousand cuts that they've had to deal with. It's become second nature.
I know that's your running thing for a long time, and it's possible, but I don't think it's going to be as clean as we think it is, you know, as we've said it is.
Well, I do think that, and to use a recovery type idea, I think that there are some people that will hit their bottom and say no more.
Yeah.
But how many addicts actually go into recovery and stay in recovery?
A lot.
Personally, I think, really?
Yeah.
My experience hasn't been seeing a whole heck of a lot.
Well, I think you've also been around people that have other problems, too. I mean, not to go too much into your work or anything, mm-hmm. but I mean, I personally know at least 100 people that I knew 20 years ago that are still sober. They were either heroin addicts or speed addicts. There's a lot of them, man. I've been to NA conventions where there's like 3,000 or 4,000 people and they do a countdown of like, you know, who has 20 years, who has 15 years, and they go down to like one day from that. And the people with years, there's a lot of them in that room. And I don't think they're fibbing either because they're in a room full of people who are addicts who can tell addicts, active addicts, you know, a mile away when they see them. Yeah. A lot of them do. I mean, it's not 99% or anything. It's probably more like, I would guess a lot of people who come in don't make it their first time, but a lot of people that keep going to those meetings or do other things regularly to try to stay clean, it's over 20% in my experience of what I've seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm also including the people that never go to a first meeting either.
Well, yeah, anyway, a lot of people die.
But the bottom line is, I think a lot of these people are going to do what they've always done, and they believe that their police are going to refuse to just follow orders. They believe that the police are going to stop doing what they've been doing all this time and just following orders and enforcing gun control legislation and the prohibition of leafy
I know
tobacco type substances. Cops have been violating people's rights for so long, and there's no reason to expect them to start doing the right thing when they've made their life, their careers off of doing the wrong thing.
I've heard this so many times from you and from people on the Freedom Fiends, and I guess there's people who haven't heard it, so go ahead. I'm just like,
it needs to be heard because
I know that's what I'm saying. Nonsense. Yeah, go ahead.
So what's going to happen is, if guns get outlawed like cannabis, then cops are going to start enforcing prohibition on firearms. And they are going to kick down doors just like they're doing on cannabis, just like they're doing on everything else. And quite frankly, I think the way that it would be sold to them would be, these are domestic terrorists.
And I know. I mean, we saw an article with somebody who was in that business, and we tried to interview him, who said that, you know, that's what they'll do. They'll have a prayer. They'll meet before dawn. They'll say, this person is a danger to your children in the neighborhood. And they'll probably even lie beyond what the actual charge is. And they'll kick down their door. But here's the thing. And we're really going far off of the story about Punxsutawney Phil. I want to get back to that. Just putting a bookmark here so we do. There will be massive noncompliance if guns are outlawed or seriously restricted. I mean, there is, of all places in Canada, there's massive noncompliance with the gun, you know, with basically outlawing a lot of guns there. Australia, there might be. Who knows? I'll bet a lot of those people who live out in the outback on farms, you know, a quarter mile away from other people didn't. I'll bet they kept a gun or two somewhere. I mean, because if someone attacks them, they can shoot, shovel, and shut up. But I think, and I also think that a lot, my basic premise was that if there's gun confiscation, a lot of people will die. And it sounded like you saying, no, there wouldn't. But people already die a lot in marijuana confiscation, and a lot of times it's because the cops kick in the door, and maybe the person is a law-abiding, you know, oh, it's the police, I'll put up my hands and explain why I'm not really a bad guy, and they'll believe me. Even if they believe that, they don't know it's really the cops when the door gets kicked in. They think it's, you know, some unaffiliated or non-government gang member, and they just shoot. It happens every day. Peace officers well, peace officers don't kick in doors, but there aren't really that many peace officers anymore because they're retiring and getting replaced by, you know, people that...
cops.
Yeah, by cops who, a lot of them are ex-military who cut their teeth kicking in doors in Fallujah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, also, if the line about these people are a threat to the Constitution and the Republic doesn't work, then they'll be told that, well, these people are a threat to your retirement and pension and benefits.
Well, that's how they're going to get the Bitcoin people when they start confiscating cryptocurrency. I don't want to go down a dark path here. I mean, I'm trying to keep it upbeat and not saying, you know, we can't talk about reality. I was just trying to tell a funny story about Punxsutawney Phil. I'm going to go ahead and finish it now.
Okay, so Punxsutawney Phil came out of the hole, saw his shadow, and cops were doing what they were doing before.
Yeah.
They were confiscating stuff for another 6 months.
Yeah. And also,
six decades.
No. So the school board talked to their lawyers and said, you know, what can we do as far as, you know, can we allow teachers with, you know, carry permits to carry in the, you know, the lawyers were like, nope. And so what they finally did, what the lawyers said they could legally do under state law, is give each teacher a bucket of rocks to throw at gunmen who come in to shoot up the kids. And I really thought this was the Onion, because it sounds so ridiculous. I mean, the term bucket of rocks is a cliche. Like, oh, you're as stupid as a bucket of rocks if you think a bucket of rocks is going to stop a gunman. And this got a lot of people are making fun of it. A lot of self-defense people are making fun of it. But here's why I don't think you should make fun of it too hard. At least they're willing to accept the idea that violent response to violence is acceptable, because in California schools, they're telling kids, you know, when the gunman comes in the room, curl up in a ball, like they told me in the Cold War. Did you have those drills, or are you too young for that? The nuclear drills.
They quit making the nuclear proof desks long after I started school.
Yeah, they were made of asbestos, I think. But I was like probably the last generation that had those. Where they would, during the Cold War, which if there's people who listen who don't know what that is, it's the period between the end of World War II and probably up to around the fall of the Berlin Wall in, what was that, 89? Were you in Germany at that time? You were, right? With the army?
Yes.
Doing your, thank you for your food service. You were an army cook, right?
Yes.
Yep. Did you have a sidearm when you were working as a cook? Back then?
No. I had an M16.
Nice.
Very few people had sidearms.
Yeah. Well, now they don't let people in the army be armed. That's why people come in to shoot up. Yeah, that's bizarre to me that people can walk onto an army base and shoot a bunch of people, or be a person on an army base and shoot a bunch of people.
You know what's really bizarre?
What?
That the school is appropriating Palestinian culture by giving rocks to teachers to fight off an attacker.
Well, I still say I give them an A for effort. The thing that's stupid is not the school board for doing this. The thing that's stupid is, I mean, you know, well, first of all, having public schools, there should all be private and homeschool and internet school. But if you're going to have
sold in vending machines,
so rocks sold in vending machines at the school. So I think the stupid thing is that this, you know, the state and probably the insurance won't let the teachers have their sidearms, you know, concealed carried, even if they have a permission slip from the government and they've passed a test on safe use. But I think it's kind of cool that they're having rocks, because I think that in like places where people are disarmed, and on top of that, like in England, if someone breaks into your house and points a gun at you, you know, and has your wife, you know, kid like hostage with his arm around her neck and a gun to her head, and you pick up, you know, the fire poker for the fireplace and bash him in the head and stop him, you go to jail. And I think that's crazy. I think that's crazy to say that self-defense is illegal. So I think that it's a good thing to have the idea that self-defense is okay, which I think giving these buckets or rocks to these teachers is. There was a school shooting. There was a shooter. It was either school shooting or church shooting last year or the year before that was stopped by somebody tackling the gunman. It was some football player at the school. Just tackled him. And, you know, a lot of kids wouldn't do that because they're told by their teachers, if someone comes in to do anything violent, you should hide under your desk, go in the coat room, you know?
You know, this reminds me a lot of the zero tolerance policies for fighting in school.
Yeah.
And growing up, that's how it was for me in the 70s and 80s. If you got into a fight in school, it didn't matter if you started it, if you were just defending yourself, if you curled up in a ball and took the hits, you were getting suspended. Yeah, maybe if you curled up in a ball, you might not get hit. You might not get suspended so hard, but you're getting suspended. It was going on your permanent record, double secret probation. I caught this stuff from home too, because my mother's like, well, if you get in a fight, you run away. You don't defend yourself. And I'm like, what kind of nonsense is this crap? And what it does is, for the person that's concerned about getting in trouble, meaning the quote unquote good kids, for the ones that don't want to get in trouble, for the ones that don't want to get punished, for the ones that don't want the stuff to show up on their permanent record, this actually encourages taking abuse from bullies.
Yeah, it does.
And it also emboldens the bullies, because the bullies know, well, this person's not gonna fight back. Yeah, they might snitch, but, you know, they're probably not even gonna snitch because they're gonna be afraid of getting in trouble for an altercation. If they do snitch, I'll just threaten to beat them up, and they don't want to get fights. So, and what this does is this creates an environment where people are unable to defend themselves. They're unable to resolve conflict. Because sometimes you have to push back a little bit with conflict. And this is probably why bullying has escalated as much as it has. So to paraphrase Bastiat, when does bullying end? Bullying ends when it becomes more painful and dangerous to be a bully than it is to be cooperative and get along.
Yeah.
Make bullying painful again.
Yeah. And you know what you can also do to help your kids if they're bullied is get them Cell 411, which is an app that's free for Android and iPhone. And you can go on the Android or iPhone store and get it free, Cell 411, or you can go to getcell411.com. And what it allows you to do is set up cells of people that you'd want to call in an emergency other than the cops, who will either do nothing or show up later and take pictures of your body or your lifeless body, or, you know, what else? Who else do people call? Teachers, you know, people that aren't going to do anything. Here's what I think would be great. If you were at a school and you had an older sibling and a younger sibling, and the younger sibling was bullied, and they both had this, the kid, when he's getting bullied, could just press Cell 411, and it would lead turn by turn walking directions or driving directions to the other person, and the older kid could come help out. And you know,
not to discourage Cell 411, but it's just like calling 911. You have the response time. The time that it takes for somebody to get there. So it would also be a good idea to teach your children how to defend themselves.
Yeah.
And maybe teach them how to make a zip gun.
Wow.
You haven't heard that since the 80s, have you?
Zip gun. Well, I've actually used the term zip gun because I've talked about the Cody Wilson printable 3D guns, which are really useless for self-defense. I mean, I guess they're better than anything, but I'd probably rather have a bucket of rocks than a single-shot, non-accurate 380 that might blow up in my hand. But the idea of them is very important, because the idea of them, the thought experiment of them, the activism of that existing is that guns are unstoppable. And that really scares politicians, and it makes them realize that they're useless. And now the other thing is, it was kind of the first step to what Cody's doing now, which is the little milling machines that can actually make a ghost gun, which are
the ghost gunner
can make a real gun, real rifle.
As I have said before, Cody Wilson's inventions will do more to preserve gun ownership than the NRA, the Second Amendment, and every political activist begging for a longer leash combined.
Yep. But I still think that gun ownership, even in a restricted method like we have now, and how it's probably going to get more restricted sooner or later, I still think that gun ownership is good, because it gives people the idea that self-defense is okay. And I think that totally changes how people carry themselves. I think in countries where you can't have a weapon and self-defense is illegal, so you can't even use an improvised weapon, like in England, I think that everyone just is kind of in fear whether they realize it or not. You know, and crime is increasing there. Knife crime is increasing a lot in England. So,
oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I just happen to have an article up from the Crime Prevention Research Center.
Go ahead and read it.
Because when you start talking about England, I said, hey, let me check that out. Okay, original post. Every place that has banned guns, either all guns or all handguns, has seen murder rates go up. You cannot point to one place where murder rates have fallen, whether it's Chicago or D.C., or even island nations such as England, Jamaica, or Ireland. For an example of homicide rates before and after a ban, take the case of the handgun ban in England and Wales in January 1997. Offenses currently recorded as homicide per million population updated numbers available here. Okay. After the ban, clearly homicide rates bounce around over time, but there's only 1 year, 2010, where the homicide rate is lower than it was in 1996. The immediate effect was about a 50% increase in homicide rates. Firearm homicide rate had doubled between 1996 and 2002. The homicide and firearm homicide rates only began falling when there was a larger increase in the number of police officers during 2003 and 2004. Despite the huge increase in the number of police, the murder rate still remains slightly higher than the immediate pre-ban rate. And that's pretty interesting, because the Kansas City Preventive Patrol experiment conducted by the Missouri Police Foundation in 1970 shows that police have absolutely no impact on crime. So, anyway.
None.
That's probably...
None?
Nothing significant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crime is reported at the same rate, and the perception of crime remains the same. That was one of the things that they found in that study. But anyway, so bottom line is the internet is
spying on you. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
The powdered wigs in England banned guns and homicide rates went up.
Yeah.
And so, you know what? Maybe if everything goes the opposite of what government does, if murder was legalized, I don't think it would be a stretch for it to say that murder rates would go down.
You know, Gary Newman, one of my heroes of music, synthesizer pioneer, pop, synth pop pioneer, Gary Newman, wrote the song Cars and a whole bunch of other cool stuff back in, what was it, 79? I think he started doing that. He recently moved his family to Los Angeles, of all places, because there's less crime than in London. You know, and he's one of these, like, not really patriotic, but loves England. Like, it's my home. It's where I'm from. I love England. And he's felt that way his whole life. And he finally just got fed up with, like, you know, like his wife getting hassled on the street over and over and over. His kids getting hassled. Him getting hassled. Not by fans or haters, like by people who didn't even know him. Just, you know, street urchins, I guess. Which brings me to, there's a story about street urchins that we should do before we should mention before we get to the internet and why it's going to spy on your children in their bedrooms, and why it is, and why all of the internet is spying on everyone all the time. Did you see that thing about the street gangs in Venezuela? The socialism has gotten so bad there. The government has gotten so strong there. Want more government? Here's more government. that it is not uncommon there now for gangs of children, and we're talking 10, 11, 12-year-olds, with machetes violently fighting with each other over the prime garbage that's in that they can find in dumpsters.
I didn't hear a darn thing you said.
Yeah? Did you buffer?
You were popping big time.
Yeah. Well, I was just talking about how in Venezuela there are gangs of children with machetes fighting over the prime garbage because of socialism.
Ah, child gangs fighting for garbage. Yes, I am a little bit familiar with that.
Tell me more. I want to know.
Well, it turns out that when the resources become so scarce that everything becomes a new resource, things that would be previously discarded or thrown away become valuable commodities because everything else is gone. It's like, why does prostitution run so rampant in these countries? Because they have nothing else to sell.
Yeah.
So the child gangs are now looking for quality garbage.
Wow.
And this could be just a variety of different things. It could be it could be looking for food. It could be looking for recyclables. It could be looking for stuff that you can recondition and turn into something else. The resources there have become so scarce and so minute that people are just grabbing up anything, and they're actually being rather creative about it and what they're turning stuff into. But necessity is always the mother of invention.
And hey, their president has created a poo coin. You know about that? The Petro or the Petro?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a cryptocurrency that's a Fed coin. The first real Fed coin, I would say.
Whatever happened to Royal Mint Chip from the Royal Bank of Canada? Did that take off or did that just...
I thought that was a contest ice cream? To name it, wasn't it?
No, it was. They were paying like $50,000 to create it. It was going to be called Royal Mint Chip. So it already had a name. So did it become an altcoin or did it become a ice cream flavor?
I've never seen it listed anywhere. But the Petro, this is kind of funny. So the Petro, I'm on a bunch of cryptocurrency forums and groups around the internet. Of course, I don't have any. I lost mine in a boating accident. But I'm still interested as a host of a radio show where we've been discussing Bitcoin since 2011, 2 years after it started, and other altcoins soon after that. It's really funny because everybody was like, when we heard about the Petro coming out, everybody was like, yeah, well, I'm not buying that crap. And then Trump signed an executive. Did you know Trump signed an executive order banning Americans from owning any of that coin?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Well, as soon as he said that, like 30% of the people I know on those groups were like, you know, now I kind of want to buy some.
Well, I can understand why the government of Venezuela would create a cryptocurrency. Most countries only have one centrally mismanaged currency. Why not
now
have two?
Three. No, they have three. Because they have the, what is their currency called?
The Bolivar.
The Bolivar. They have the Bolivar, and they also have the Strong Bolivar. Do you know about that? Like, the Strong Bolivar was supposed to be the thing that solved their inflation problem, and it didn't. Yeah. Yeah, because when their mismanagement ruined their economy to where their centrally planned currency, the Bolivar, was having, like, what? Like, 3 or 5% inflation every month, I think it was. They rolled out a government program to fix what the government programs had ruined, and the government program was the Strong Bolivar, which was supposed to be a better one. And I think it was like cash in your old ones for a new one, like 10-1 or something like that. And you know, then
so
that
wasn't
one just
a proper fork. Then
it was a proper fork. Yeah, you know what's funny? There's a screenshot I saw of it was the U.S. Treasury. It was some government thing to do with money. His Twitter feed, and it said, like, beware of initial coin offerings. Many of them are backed by nothing and, you know, printed by dubious entities. And then somebody responded, yes, I'd like to report a bad altcoin. It's called the U.S. dollar. It's got an unlimited supply. It's got terrible inflation. And, you know, it's created by an untrustworthy entity. Please keep an eye out for it. It's true, man. I mean, like, if the U.S. dollar was if everything about it that's true about that was if it was created by something other than the government or the Federal Reserve, which they say isn't the government, but it is, if it was created by a corporation, they'd be the people who created it would be in prison, you know, for bad business practices.
Absolutely. Yeah. Could you imagine if the Federal Trade Commission enforced campaign promises like they do other advertising?
Man. Wow.
Yep. If the government had to live up to its own standards, it would be nuked. They would have to nuke themselves. They would have to launch the entire U.S. nuclear reserve and probably borrow, do some fractional reserve nuking on themselves.
Oh, man.
They'd have to borrow from other countries.
Have to borrow a nuke from Israel?
Yeah.
Did you know, there's a lot of news that's gone underreported while these little socialists have been screeching about guns. You know, did you see that video, too? Let me come back to that in a sec. But did you see the video of the kid, Hogg? I think the aptly named Kid Hogg, the one that has a lesbian haircut, that dude. And his little girlfriend, the lesbian girl, the actual lesbian with the Cuban flag on her jacket while she's giving anti-gun speeches. You know, like floating the flag of a country that banned guns and then killed homosexuals. So there you go.
Yeah. The kid looks a bit like Rudolf Hess.
Yeah. Hogg.
And if you don't know who Rudolf Hess was, he was the one that did the editing for Mein Kampf.
Yeah. If you don't know who Rudolf Hess was, you're doomed to repeat it.
But, yeah. Which made him the first grammar Nazi.
Yeah.
So the Royal Mint chip.
Okay, you got it?
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Okay, the Mint ran a challenge during the summer of 2012 to develop apps and ideas for how Mint chip could be used. The prizes included 50,000 in gold bullion. Here, we're going to give you gold bullion to create this government artificial money. So, winners included
good money
a
drives out bad.
For Windows included a wallet app for Windows 7, an app to donate micropayments to charity with every transaction you perform, and a mobile checkout point of sale app.
So it's got it's got built-in tax to give to the poor?
Probably.
It's government, yeah.
Yeah, they're calling it charity. But anyway, so I'm looking here. Okay, privatization. On January 12th, 2016, it was announced that Mint Chip had been sold to Toronto-based NanoPay.
Oh, okay. So they privatized the public coin after making it.
Yeah.
So the news that has been one of the news items that's been underreported while these little kids have been begging for their rights to be taken away. And then when their rights got taken away, when they made the kids all have clear backpacks, the little Nazi kid, what's his name? Hogg. The aptly named Hogg. He threw a fit about it. And said it was a violation of his First Amendment rights, which is kind of funny because, if anything, it's a violation of his Fourth Amendment rights. But he doesn't know anything about the Constitution. So here's the
thing.
Go ahead.
Did you know that their march almost got canceled?
Why?
It turns out that internet, loudspeakers, television, radio, and all that other stuff were not envisioned by the founding lawyers back when they wrote the First Amendment. So the only thing that they could do was pass out pamphlets and scream really loud.
There you go.
The 6th Annual Midwest Peace of Liberty Fest will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, from Thursday, June 21st through Monday, June 25th. There will be all sorts of activities in a family and adult-friendly environment. Scheduled speakers include Dana Martin, Brett Benat, Prof. CJ, and Scott Horton. Round up your friends and family members and get them registered today at mplfest.org. That's Mike, Papa, Lima, fest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
So the one thing that I noticed that was really underreported was, did you see that Trump is asking the United States military, actually the Army, to pay for the wall? Yeah, what's this about the kids having a double standard, the take your guns, kids?
Yes, there's an article in the Babylon Bee. I love that.
Is that like the Onion?
They could be the new Onion. It could be the new Onion.
The new Onion.
I think it's a lot more libertarian anarchist leaning than the Onion, though. And the title of this article is, "I will stop at nothing to take away your constitutional rights." Whoa, bro, why are you attacking me? I'm just a kid.
Yeah.
And that's by Daniel Pegg.
I actually saw someone said something like that to me on Punk Rock Libertarians I posted something making fun of the kid, of those kids, and someone was like, oh, real classy, making fun of kids who are trying to change, you know, trying to make the world a better place. And I said, these kids want to kill me. They want to kill us. Why wouldn't I make fun of them? I mean, they do want to kill us because they want to ban guns. They don't even want to just, I mean, this is how gun disarmers, people who want to take away the guns, always work. They say they want to take an inch, but they want to take a mile, you know, like, mm-hmm. But these kids are kids and they're suddenly thrown into the spotlight, or if they're crisis actors, they weren't trained very well and they're still kids. And there's a lot of footage of them saying really ridiculous things, like that woman, the Cuban girl, said, you know, yeah, give us an inch and I'm going to take a mile. I want to take your guns. Like, she said that, you know, outright. And the dude has said something like that too. And he's also been caught lying because he said that he was there when the shooting started. And in another interview, he says, and it's something that CBS posted, like the whole raw, unedited interview, like an hour of it. And in the middle of it somewhere, he says, I was at home and I heard the kid graduated from school. He doesn't go to that school. He's like 19, the boy. And he said in this interview, you can go watch him say this. Just Google this and look on YouTube. It's not the altered footage. And it's on, you know, it's on the mainstream news site. It's not Alex Jones or something that, you know, that we would listen to, maybe that people would say is fake news, you know, it's not the weird conspiracy tinfoil hats like the Freedom Fiends. It's the mainstream news. And he says, yeah, I heard about that something was going down at the school and I got on my bike and got my camera and rode there as quickly as I could, 2 miles, you know, to be involved in it and document it. And then in another interview, he says, like, there's an edited thing of him saying, like, in different interviews, like, yeah, and my sister lost 3 of her best friends. And the next clip is like, and my sister lost her 2 best friends. And my sister lost 4 of her best friends. Like, he actually gave those different, you know, like, they don't have their story straight. They're not as trained at lying to the media as adults are often. So, yeah, but it's one thing or the other. Either you're adults and want to be taken seriously and we can treat you like we treat adults and not use kid gloves, or you're kids who we have to treat really sweet and special, but we shouldn't take you seriously because you haven't seen enough of the world yet and you don't understand it. And they're basically just pawns of the anti-gunners. You know, these kids did not organize hundreds of thousands of people to show up. Nope. Nope. You there?
Yeah, you're buffering hard again.
Ah, darn. I don't know what to say. I just a buffering kind of guy. Take a buffering. Here, let's stop and reconnect. So, yeah, the internets. So everyone's leaving Facebook, or not everyone, but a lot of people are. What happened? Why are people leaving Facebook, Lou?
Oh, gosh, there's a lot of reasons for that. There's been some scandals. I'm not really up on the scandals as much as some people are. They're very
I'm up on them.
Yeah.
But in general.
Part of it is the selling of data, and to be honest, nobody should have expected to go on Facebook and have super-duper privacy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that the people that put up those little notices are saying, I do not consent to using my private information, I'm pretty sure that that's not going to fly because the terms of service are gonna overrule that.
Those things are comical, man. And it's like a cut and paste, copy paste a thing of,
yeah,
it sounds like legalese, but it's just total crap. It's nothing. You know, actually though, that in some small way helped to inspire the BIPCOT no government license. Yeah. Cause I was like, you know, how could we do this, but make it fun? You know, if you want to have a useless license, use the BIPCOT no government license. And I would say, here's another thing too. Like, I've heard a lot of talk lately of, especially from libertarians, saying like, well, these companies have the right to do whatever they want. And, but I think that at this point, you know, the top like 6 companies or whatever, Amazon's one of the top companies too, but they're not really, they're data mining, but they're actually providing a service with it and they're more clear about it. But the ones that are social networky kind of stuff, like Facebook, Google, and Microsoft, I would say that they're kind of almost government now. You know, they're not private anymore because A, they have such close to a cartel type almost monopoly, or, you know, members of a cartel, and B, they're so government regulated, and C, actually work so closely with the government, like turning over things without a warrant, to where I would say the First Amendment probably should apply. And I think that some of the stuff going on with Facebook is like book burning. It's, you know, like removing the right to post certain things that the, you know, that are totally legal, but that Facebook doesn't like, and they're not allowing it. So is Microsoft too.
It's very nanny-ish is what it is.
Yeah.
And what you see with the exodus from Facebook, and people are looking at new platforms, MeWe is one of them.
I'm on MeWe.
That's what it's called, right? MeWe? Yeah.
You know, MeWe's a weird name, though. MeWe sounds like what a toddler would say when he has to go to the bathroom and doesn't have enough language capacity yet to say, I have to tinkle. He says, MeWe. But yeah. I call it MeWe. It's M-E-W-E.
And where two or more toddlers have to piddle, that's when they say wee wee.
Yeah.
So they're getting their pronouns correct.
Yeah.
But anyway,
well, that's just the law in Canada.
Yeah. But anyway, there's been a large exodus from Facebook of a lot of people. Some people are still hanging around. It's turning into MySpace in some regards, to where people still have their accounts, but they haven't logged in a long time. Incidentally, I was never on MySpace, but I've heard people making the comparison with what's happened with Facebook. They're asking why they did leave MySpace, because MySpace didn't have all the stuff that people are complaining about with Facebook. Now, it's true that as private entity, they have the right to determine what the standards are, but in many cases, they are just being so nannyish about it that There's a consumer backlash against them. Now, me personally, I have no problem with ads, and I guess that's one of the things that the people at MeWe brag about is no ads.
I don't know how they're making money. I don't know how they're keeping the lights on.
Probably. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I like targeted ads for stuff that I'm interested in, so I don't really get all fired up about
that. They never get it right, though, man. The closest I get to targeted ads being something I want is getting ads for things I bought yesterday, which is really weird. Do you ever get that?
Yes, I do get that. I'm kind of sad that they haven't gotten past that. But it's a step in the right direction. What I'm really fired up about is I think that the quality of Facebook has just dropped like a rock. And a lot of it, I think, is they're over-engineering it. It's the Peter principle, or the Windows 7 principle.
Well, they've also like tried to Zuckerberg has said that he wanted, you know, that they changed their algorithms a few months ago to try to encourage, as he put it, more deeper and meaningful conversations. It's so incredibly socialist nanny. Like, you will have a good time out here. What if you just want to laugh at cat pictures and, you know, like cat pictures and laugh at stupid memes? That's pretty much a lot of what I go on those sites for. Cat what?
Cat wee.
MeWe. Well, yeah. MeWe is MeWe, MeWe.com. And I'm on there, Michael Dean. You can find me. If you're here, I got a tip for people migrating to, or trying to migrate, or keeping both sites until there's enough people, critical mass at MeWe. A lot of people on MeWe are sending out friend requests to people they know on Facebook, or people they barely know or don't know on Facebook, or, you know, they're like, oh, it's the Freedom Fiends guy, I'll add him, you know, one of our six fans or whatever. I'm kidding. We have like 35 fans. But like they're sending friend requests before they've posted anything. I don't accept friend requests from people I don't know and I can't see anything about them. You know, you got to have something there. So, if you're a government plant, you'd have more information than these people have, because they'd have to. So the thing that – go ahead.
Now, what I don't like about Facebook, and I mentioned the so-called innovations. They're doing the algorithm so that you're only getting a few people. I would like to see more people in my feed. I would like more of a variety. And they're not,
I'd like
really
non-libertarians in my feed. I mean, my feed is I want non-libertarians that aren't going to yell at me. And I changed my header. on Facebook and on MeWe to say, let's see, what does it say? Let me read it. It says, taxation is theft. Self-defense is an innate right. All government is immoral. However, if that's all you ever post about, and or if your posts seem to be in a constant state of panic, I probably don't want to talk to you. Because a lot of libertarians, even friends, even co-hosts on here, like most of what they post is that kind of stuff.
Fear porn.
Now, is fear porn. Yeah. And by fear porn, we mean stuff, you know, I mean, you can post something really interesting and it gets like three likes and no shares. And you can post something horrible that the government did to you today. And it's the same kind of stuff the government's been doing for 50 or 100 or 200 years. And it'll get, you know, 500 shares or 500, you know, like a lot more traffic. People are more into the stuff that makes them go, ah, and to the point where like you can post stuff about the government's harming you and people go, ah, and share it and respond to it. And you can post something else about here's what you can do about it. And it gets far fewer shares. And let's discuss a few things we can do about it. I want to talk about that Facebook plugin. I tried that. I'm using that right now. But before that, I want to say what happened and what my theory is with why it happened with Facebook. So the thing that happened recently with Facebook wasn't any different than what Facebook has been doing since they started and more and more and more as they went on. But the reason people got upset about it was they allowed this company called Cambridge Analytica, I think, to mine data, you know, to pay money to mine data on Facebook and get a bunch of information about people. And the person behind it was Steve Bannon. Is that his name? The Trump's guy?
I know that's Trump's guy's name, but I'm not up on all that news stuff. Yeah. I'm not up on all the fear porn.
Well, this is what happened. This is why people are upset, because Steve Bannon, who got fired from the White House but is still working for Trump, or at least privately with other funding, doing things that help Trump and help the administration. I think it's possible that Steve Bannon's motivation was get all this information and then leak it through someone else that this happened to make Zuckerberg unelectable. Because, you know, Zuckerberg's been like probing the possibility of running for president. And I think that
I had no idea.
You didn't know that? Oh, that's been no. Google that. Zuckerberg trying to run for president. That's the thing that's been. He went on a tour of the United States recently. Like last year, he and his wife toured 50 states in 50 days or something in cars and buses and, you know, like didn't call ahead, allegedly, like just showed up. You know, I'm sure he had bodyguards with him, and I'm sure he had people like spinning it and photographing it and letting out what they wanted and not letting out what they wanted. But he was like, you know, being like a regular person. He was going into bakeries and having a croissant and some coffee and talking with the people that own the place. And it looked very much like a president, you know, someone running for president kind of thing. And he's done
like
other
a train
things.
Tour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I think that he's completely unelectable now. And I think that he's probably one of the only people that could have had a chance against Trump in 2020.
What about Oprah?
I don't know. Ugh.
Bernie could still win this.
I'd actually probably rather have Bernie than Oprah or Zucker, especially Zuckerberg, man. He's so nanny, man. He's so like 1984 with a like he's like Stalin with a smiley face on. That's how I look at him.
I expect the LP to have Weld and Sessions for their ticket in 2020.
Ugh. That's funny. There's a couple of memes going around that are really kind of spot on, I think. One is a picture of Zuckerberg talking to a bunch of school kids. It was on this tour, you know, and it's, of course, they're black school kids because, you know, that's the kind of picture they want out, is that he's inclusive and loves the children of the world of many colors. And it's him talking to this little kid and they're looking at a computer together, and the caption someone put, the word bubble above the kid, is he's saying, my father told me you're spying on us. And Zuckerberg says, he's not your father. which will probably be the image for this show because it's just so spot on.
He's not really your father.
I am. I don't know if the next line would be I am or just it just seems like something he'd say to a kid. Oh, that's not your father. But the other picture that I think really sums it up, what's been going on, is it's a picture of Zuckerberg looking at his phone and the caption says, wait, where are all my peasants going?
He needs to wear one of those Queen Elizabeth hats.
Yeah. Let them eat me-wee. So let's talk about some solutions here. Is that the name of the show? That's the picture of Zuckerberg. Let them eat me-wee. That's it. Yeah, and the thing is, like, there's not really a lot of people on MeWe yet, and it's having some growing pains, like some things don't work sometimes on it, and then they'll work. But a lot of people are like, well, I'm going to keep both accounts for a while, or I'm not going to move there yet because, you know, there aren't enough people there. But I remember people saying that about MySpace, and, you know, that no one would ever – there would never be anything to kill MySpace because it had the people. But the people are fickle, man, and I think it's sad that it took – you know, a Republican mining the data after, you know, Obama and Hillary mined everyone's data and no one cared for everyone to leave. But good. Let them leave. Let them eat me-we. Yeah, there's the picture. So here's some solutions. One thing, what's the name of this? I just installed this. You sent me this today. There's a sort of privacy plugin, sort of, for what's this thing? What's the browser?
Firefox?
For Firefox. Yeah, that thing. I use several browsers. There's an article on Zero Hedge I'll put in the notes. It says, Facebook condom. Mozilla launches Firefox extension, avoids Zuck's spying eyes. So what this does, it basically compartmentalizes each tab. Because as it is now, like one tab can view what's in another tab with Facebook, which is just evil. There's no reason it should be able to do that. But this is called compartment or Facebook compartment, I think. And it makes it so they can't – so Facebook can't see as much. They can still see some, but not as much. And I tried it, and I mean, I don't know if it works yet. I haven't looked at the code. I haven't looked at, you know, the viewer, the code viewer to see what's going on. But I mean, I got it right before the show. But I like one thing it does, which is it makes my feed disappear. When you go to the just facebook.com, you know, it's got the feed of what all your friends did recently. I think this is a bug, not a feature, but it makes that disappear. But I'm fine with that because I use Facebook in one direction. Now, here's an interesting thing of Zuck's thing of we want you to have meaningful conversations is I've basically become shadow banned or hell banned on Facebook. Like I have
What does that mean? I've heard it, but I'm not familiar with it.
It means I have 3,000 friends and none of them are seeing what I post. Like, it's okay. Basically blocking someone without letting them know they're blocked because they can still see what they post, but not many other people could see it. Like, you know, 3 or 4 people see it. And people, like, it's not that I'm posting anything that's less interesting. I'm actually posting more interesting things, but it's just not getting as much reach. It's not getting into as many people's feeds. And part of the reason for that, I thought at first it was like, oh, they don't like my agendas. They have agendas that are liberal and I'm not liberal. I'm not a, you know, socialist fascist like they are. But actually what it more likely is, that might be a little bit of it, but more likely it's there's actually a video on YouTube called like how to avoid the shadow ban on YouTube. If you Google that. Google. Yeah. Go to the one tyrant to find out what the other tyrant's doing. it tells you that, and that's a complaint I heard about this plugin too, is like Mozilla, who makes Firefox, are kind of nanny too. So, you know, you're going to trust them to help you. But so basically I'm not using Facebook as intended and Facebook doesn't like it. And what that means is Facebook doesn't want you to just post your own stuff and then leave. They don't even want you to just post other people's stuff and leave. Like a lot of stuff I do gets me algorithmed down so less people see me. Like one of the things I do a lot is when I have something that I think's funny and I post it and it does get a bunch of views or even just a few views of several people talking back and forth, or especially if they're arguing about something unrelated, you know, I post pictures of kittens playing and all of a sudden they're arguing about politics like usual. And I will unfollow comments, turn off notifications on that post, Facebook hates that because that means you're not seeing ads every time you log in. And they've also slow banned me a bit too. Like Facebook runs really slow for me and slower than it does. I've talked to other people, like it doesn't, it takes like 30 seconds for a page to load sometime on Facebook. But, and I don't have a virus and I have a really fast computer and decent internet. And yeah, they just want me to go away because there's, and also I never click on ads. So I am their absolutely unideal customer. And I heard somebody describe it really well, like what they want, what they consider. They either want you like talking about how great Hillary is, or, you know, if it's not political, if it doesn't fit their agenda, like they don't want you sharing the new Biptunia, you know, they want you talking about their advertisers. Like they want you, you know, talking about the latest Minions movie, and they want you talking about it with like people you've actually met, like people you went to high school with. People, I wouldn't talk to those people, you know, there's a reason I don't talk to those people. But yeah, they want you having, you know, typical conversations with people you've met in person and anything less about their advertisers' products. And every time you post a link, it dings you. You get less shared when you post links because they don't want people leaving Facebook. So, you know, they don't want you educating people. They don't want you talking about what you want to talk about. They want to talk about what they want you to talk about. And anything less gets you less shares, less views.
Yeah, it's something that I'm not real happy about, and they changed this a while back. They says, we're going to try and figure out what's important to you. So they changed the way the notifications come in. I used to like the chronological order of notifications.
Oh, yeah.
So that
right.
I could just
oh, that new threading
it.
Thing? It's insane, man. Yeah. You're talking about how things are like nested responses?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you go down, you'll see a response was a few seconds ago, 1 hour ago, 12 minutes ago, 17 minutes ago. And it's just all over the place. And chronological order is
– it makes sense.
It works.
Yeah. And it leads to arguments too, actually, because it's a lot harder to tell who's responding to whom with the new system. And a lot of times people will like yell at someone and it comes out right under your comment. And they're yelling at someone like six comments up, and you think they're yelling at you. So there's so much to hate about Facebook. And now that I'm kind of I mean, I'm still on it, but basically the reason I'm still on it is so when people add me on MeWe, I can go look at them and see if I know them. I guess if I knew them, I wouldn't have to check. But Facebook is actually still really useful for vetting people in a way, because since everyone's on it, or was on it. Like if someone sends me an email and wants to work with me on something, I search their email on Facebook and see what they posted and what kind of person they present themselves to the world as, because it's a really good way to weed out crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this goes back to the conversation that we had a couple of years ago about Windows 8 and Windows 10 and Windows 7. Windows 7 was the pinnacle of Windows. They got it right.
Yeah.
But it was the Peter principle. Peter was good at what he did, but got promoted and started sucking. And it's
– Zucking.
Just – yeah.
That should be our new radio word. Zucking. Yeah.
Yeah. Permazucked.
Yeah.
But anyway I think a lot of this comes from, and granted, I have absolutely no doubt that a lot of this is nanny based, but I really think a lot of this comes from the notion of a bunch of engineers sitting around saying, okay, we haven't done anything innovative for a month or two. What changes are we going to make? Come on, somebody, think of something.
Well, it goes around to having employees, really, you know. I think that it's smarter for software companies to work with ad hoc groups that they hire when they need somebody. But I guess that runs into problems with, you know, NDAs and non-competes and things like that, that people who work in the, you know, ancient copyright system that's hundreds of years old, basically, that's in the Constitution, actually, you know, people that work on the we must have protection of our special ideas and how to present them, which is really the dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits. There's other ways to make money without that. And everything should be covered by the BIPCOT, no government license instead. And so basically you end up with teams of thousands of people that you're paying anyway, and you don't want to pay them to just sit there. So you have to pay them to innovate. because also then if they don't innovate, you can't sell more product. And really, like, what the ideal consumer thing to do would be to make great software and then just keep it secure. Just have enough programmers to do bug fixes as needed, and basically have a process, a more difficult process of adding, of vetting things you want to add, of features, of like, do we really need this? Do people really want this? Should everyone have to pay for this because a few people want it? You know, maybe it should be more like everything's a plug-in, where if you want to add, you know, advanced mail merge, I never do mail merge. Why do I need a program with mail merge? I will never do that. I'm not sending out funding letters to a mailing list on snail mail, you know, things like that. It should be like a Chinese menu, like pick one from column A, one from column B. You know, you should have modules you can add and that work together. But, you know, maybe they'd be like $5 for the next module or something. Yeah, I actually had to buy a copy of Word today because I'm rewriting a book of mine and I don't have a computer that has Word on it because I use OpenOffice. But OpenOffice doesn't deal well with like 500 page documents that have that were written in Word that have lots of embedded pictures.
Your Chromebook should have Word app for it.
My Chromebook is really underpowered. I gave my really good Chromebook to Phil, the fiend. The Chromebook I have right now is basically, it has 2 gigs of RAM, and it's basically what I take to doctor's appointments to kill time in the lobby. Yeah. I mean, I write notes for books, but I recently put out the third edition of $30 Film School as a Kindle book, and right now I'm working on the second edition of $30 Music School. Bob, you hear Bob? Bob's squeaking. Bob. Anyway, so I got a couple solutions also of, well, not really solutions, but problems. So I want people to check out a couple things to realize how much they're spied on. One is Google this phrase, Google location history. So Google the phrase, do that right now while we're talking, Lou. Google location history. And this will give you a minute by minute history of everywhere you've given, where you've traveled since you got your Google account on a phone, unless you turn your phone off when you're driving. This is going to shock you. It's going to be a history. Mine is basically my house and doctor's appointments and Walmart in my town.
Okay, we got the, I hit the maps timeline?
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Yep. It's going to terrify you.
Randy brought this up a while back, and okay, so I'm actually seeing stuff on here.
Yep. Does it have everywhere you've been, even like other cities?
Possibly.
Yeah. Mine's only my city, because I don't think I've left my city since I got an Android phone a couple years ago. Why? I have everything I need right here. Yeah. But so that's one thing. Google the phrase, Google location history, and look at Google's this is how they find killers now, too. Like people who say, oh, I was nowhere near the person when they died with my gun. And, you know, it doesn't even take a smart cop. It just takes a cop to pick up their phone, you know, use their police software that logs them into it, and look where they went. See if they were there at that time. The other thing is, okay, type in this one, Lou. It's miunique.com, AMIUNIQUE.com. And it sounds like being unique is a good thing, but in this sense, being unique is a bad thing. So basically, this is a site that checks for all sorts of kind of telltale things.
Is it miunique.com or .org?
Miunique.org. You're right. Miunique.org. And so basically, like, even if you're using a VPN, you can be tracked generally. There's ways around this, but this shows you all the ways that they use things, like what browser you're using, what version of the browser you're using, what version, what operating system, what version of it, if you have English set as your primary language, at what time code you have set, and a whole bunch of other things. And with all those things, I'm unique on this one browser, and on another browser, there were 2 people in the world that they'd found so far that had the same exact, you know. So really, like, if you wanted to be not tracked doing anything, you know, you should use a fresh install of an operating system you don't normally use. Use a VPN. Use a browser you don't normally use. Don't put any plugins on it. Use a different time zone, etc. And it'd be a lot harder to track you. Yep. What do you think, Lou?
I think I'm about to take my phone outside and hit with the sledgehammer.
Are you looking at it? So, yeah.
I was looking at
the timeline.
My timeline on Google.
Is it everything you thought it would be and then scary amounts more? I mean, it's like every store I visited in town ever.
Actually, I'm kind of bored.
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah. You think you should travel more after seeing this?
Yeah.
Travel more and leave your phone home.
Yeah. How do you find the timeline again?
Well, it's actually google.com/maps/timeline. But the easy way to find it is to Google the phrase Google location history. And it's the top result.
Okay.
Yeah. You can search by month, by year, by date, etc.
Yep. Yeah. Randy and I had talked about this a while back on the show.
But you didn't do it?
And I did it, and there was nothing there. So it turned out I was boring.
Huh. Well, are you boring now?
Still kind of boring. A little bit.
There's stuff there now, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why there wouldn't have been before, but there is now. Maybe they've updated the quality of the spying they show you. I don't know.
Go ahead. The next article is how to delete that.
Okay. And then we gotta wrap it up because we're getting close to here. But go ahead. Tell me how to delete that.
Oh, gosh. I'd have to bring up that article. Anybody that goes to Google and does the location history, first one's going to be the timeline on the maps. The next one is going to be how to delete that stuff.
Oh, okay.
So everybody can do their own homework there.
Yeah. So let's see. Delete. Yeah. Yep. So the results when you Google location history are the first one that we just looked at, and the second one is view or edit your timeline, and the third one is manage or delete your location history. Now, you know, an interesting thing, too, is you can do show Google ad results or ad profile, and it shows, like, what you like and what you're into, and it's pretty accurate. Although, you know, it included things that I'm deeply passionate about, like cats and synthesizers and Liberty, but then also, like, in that list has things that I Googled once, you know. But the interesting thing about that is Google takes a guess at what your age and sex is, but it says you can change that if they're wrong. So maybe that's something people would want to change if they're wrong, but it would change or anyway. I don't know. Is that legal? I don't care if it's legal. Yeah. I just want to I want to know if it's legal. Well, it's probably legal. It's going to get to the point where it's not, though.
Do they just assume my age and gender?
I know. Anyway, I think we got to wrap it up. So you got anything else here, Lou?
No, I don't.
All right. Well, it's been a good show, man. So be careful out there on the internet, people.
It was a pleasure being had by you again, Michael.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since you've had me on my show. All right, worms.
Worms.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.